This episode took a while to produce, as I had to stop a few times due to uncontrollable laughter. Now, I may be building this up, but if you don't at least laugh out loud, and maybe even hit pause to collect yourself, then I don't even know you. Gracing the airwaves today is a Norm Nathan show from June 10th, 1995. It is a mashup of 2 hours, and I've titled it, The Games People Play. Hope Shower is producing. We begin with some mystery applause for someone named Jim. Norm reads the AccuWeather forecast. Or does he? We are then joined by a very serious Bert Cohen, a veritable master of all things marbles. They talk about the upcoming marble tournament being held on the Boston Common at the Frog Pond, the international tournament, prizes, and some marbles history. The interview is a bit choppy, but there's enough here to be informative and entertaining. And we try to be nothing less than that here. This leads to Norm and I and callers talking all about children's games, being creative, the old days and the not-so-old days, rhymes, jokes, and antioxidants. We get calls from Pete from Methuen, Paul in Winthrop, Ed from Boston, Jen in Salem, Jeremy from Framingham or North Carolina, Elaine from Chelsea on a payphone, and that call includes the clicking and the operator warning as her time expires. And then there's a side-splitting call from Kay in Lunenburg, who informs us on the history of Ring Around the Rosie. Get ready for that one! Other highlights include commercials from Dave Maynard for Caitlin Travel, Jack Hart tells us all about Kwai Garlic, and an unforgettable, partial live read from Norm for Power Vites. That sponsor got so much more than that 60 seconds they paid for. We learn of the great 12th century maestro Myron Boskowitz and his pharmaceutical background. I pry into Norm's life and ask a very personal question. We are stopped in our tracks not once, but twice with thought-provoking, life-changing quotes from Norm's Hungarian gypsy princess grandmother. There's talk about some talentless bum who gets a lot of publicity, phone prompt hell, and bile duct blockage. Boy, do we cover it all. Episode 90, The Games People Play, jumps into your ears in 3, 2, and 1.
Let's hear it for this guy's enthusiasm. That was really nice. Really, that was really enthusiastic. Jim, that was just so darn nice. However, we still are looking over some other contestants for this particular spot. So, you know, just stand by anyway. Keep your resume. Keep it up to date. Always keep your resume up to date. That's my slogan. I never gave you the temperature, did I? It's, well, I don't feel like giving it to you now either.
News all day. Norm Nathan.
Norm Nathan. He's the talk of the town. Lift you up when you're down. Norm Nathan. On WBZ. In Boston.
And the temperature is actually 53 degrees. It's really cool. This is about as cool as it's been for some time. And we'll be around through the night. We're going to be talking with Bert Cohen in just a minute. Bert is the man who knows more about marbles than anybody maybe in the entire free world. And there's a marble tournament coming up on Boston Common next week. And we'll talk with Bert about that in just a minute. What are with marbles, are you?
Yes, I am. It's a wonderful hobby and growing tremendously in the United States, both the playing and collecting.
Okay, I mentioned to you last time the fact that different areas have different names. I think, I'm not sure. Not, for example, I grew up in Everett. We called them stickers. And I mentioned that to you the last time, and you said you'd never heard of that before.
No, I haven't.
Yeah, I don't know why we called it sticker. You suppose that was just that one block on the Vine Street in Everett was the only area where they called them stickers?
Anything's possible. But there's all kinds of names for marbles. Emmys, shooters, all kinds of names. Every area had their own name.
Okay, like the big marble that you used as the kind of a key marble. That you call that a shooter.
That's correct.
And that had what other names, too?
Oh, there's Aggies, Moonies, all different styles. In Springfield, I know they use the name Moonies for a lot of their marbles.
Moonies sounds like kind of a lot of dropping your pants.
Right.
You know, the mooning thing. You don't seem to be too terribly humorous tonight about any of these things. You're really all business, so I'll cut out the junk.
Okay.
And we'll go right to the heart of stuff. How did you happen to write? How did all this come about? Well, how did you get so interested in marbles, and how have you become involved in them through the years?
Well, actually, I've been involved with marbles for about 40 years, mainly collecting of marbles, but now I'm very active also in the playing of marbles. 3 years ago, we had the first international marble tournament in London, because every year in London on Good Friday, they have big tournaments there. And 3 years ago, I had a team from Tennessee, one from New Jersey, one from France, and one from Holland go over to England. And a team from Kentucky, Tennessee, beat everyone. They're so good. And every year for 72 years, children up to 15 years old go to Wildwood, New Jersey in June. In fact, it'll be in 2 weeks. And they play marbles for a week, and the winners get a $2,000 scholarship. And that's why I wanted to have this marble tournament and the Boston Common, because the children in Boston from the 20s to the 50s used to play in Boston, and those winners went down to New Jersey. So I'd love to see this game played more often in Boston and all over the United States.
Okay, now the dates in Boston for all of this, June 16th, 17th, and 18th?
Next Friday afternoon, all day Saturday, all day Sunday. Well, the way we're setting it up is on Friday and Saturday, the children will be participating, and I'll be giving away prizes of handmade marbles and also marbles made in Mexico. There's a company in Mexico that produces 12 million marbles a day for export. 12 million marbles a day for export. Mm. And they've sent me some marbles I can give away to children. Then also the adults will be playing Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And the winner on Sunday will get a free trip to France to play in the finals, which will be held in France at the end of August, against other winners from other parts of Europe.
Well, that sounds like a great deal of fun. Now, do you have a lot of people have signed up so far for this thing coming up next weekend?
Actually, the way we're setting it up, anyone can come by. You don't have to sign up ahead of time. Just come by and play marbles. And the way this game is played is a little bit different than they play marbles normally. This is a game started in France in 1981, where you actually flick the marble with your finger. And we're going to make a little track like a miniature golf. But you flick the marble, we're going to have sand. We're bringing in sand. The city of Boston has come through very nicely to help me, the park department. And we're going to be bringing in some sand on the Frog Pond at the Boston Common. And thus, Friday afternoon, Saturday, and Sunday, we'll be playing marbles and giving away marbles. And it should be a lot of fun, and no experience is necessary, no charge. It's on public property, so there's no charge, and anyone can play, any age.
Do you have any idea how many people will take part? Are these just kids? Any age, you say? So
any age, adults or children.
You think some old codger like me will get down on his knees and play marbles?
We're going to split up. The children will be participating for different games and marbles, and the adults will be participating to win a trip to France. I figured it'd be fairer to do it that way rather than have a child play against an adult. So we're going to set up for two different tracks.
Oh, that sounds like a whole lot of fun. Whereabouts on the common will that be?
Right at the children's section of the common, where they call the Frog Pond.
Oh, near the Frog Pond.
Near the Frog Pond.
Okay.
So, and it'll be, we're hoping for good weather, and the state of New York and Onionda has an exhibit through August of marbles. Last year, I had an exhibit at the San Francisco airport. And the Columbus Day weekend, every year, we do have a marble convention where about 500 people attend at the Radisson Hotel, and they can buy, sell, and trade marbles. And it's in Marlborough, Massachusetts. So that goes on every year, Columbus Day weekend in Marlborough. You can see all the marbles. There's people from all the United States that attend.
Okay. I hope you'll be in touch with me. And send me stuff, when you're going to have that marble convention, that kind of stuff. Because I have a feeling there will be a lot of people would want to go and see the kinds of stuff you have. Because a lot of it, I know, is very, very unusual. So would you keep in touch with me on that?
Be my pleasure.
And on this?
The five. And then Sunday afternoon, we'll have the finals for the adults to see who will be the lucky person to get a free trip to France at the end of August to play in the finals with winners from all over Europe.
Yeah, wouldn't that be something to win here?
You have a chance. And you then come to yourself Europe. And play.
God,
you
okay.
might win, Mr. Norman.
Mr. Norman might win. Mr. Norman didn't win when he was a kid, but it would be... I don't know. It sounds like fun. Maybe I will drop by and try it, and you know, and bring back memories.
More
of
than
my
merrier.
Youth. Okay. Good luck to you. Thanks a million.
We'll travel by motor coach to Portland, Maine, board the Scotia Prince, an overnight cruise to Yarmouth, Nova Scotia, and then it's off to travel along the coast of the mighty Bay of Fundy, and then on to Wolfville, Halifax, Peggy's Cove, and Cape Breton Island, the Scotland of North America. We'll follow the Cabot Trail and visit the Acadian community of Cheticamp. Prince Edward Island awaits us for a few days, and some of the most picturesque sightseeing in Canada. And of course, we'll see the popular production of Anne of Green Gables. The program includes motor coach transportation throughout, round trip ferry from Portland to Yarmouth, Nova Scotia. Also, accommodations for 10 nights in first-class hotels, full breakfast daily, dinner each evening except one in Halifax. All sightseeing and tickets to Anne of Green Gables. The tour is fully escorted. We've been asked to run this program for years. Space is limited. Call Caitlin Travel Group in Lexington, 617-862-6229. Do it
feed
now.
Part of the...
Another rubber band in the top. And anyway, you could fire the rubber band, and if you did it right, it would really float for...
Yeah,
sail for quite a. Did you do that too? I think by the time you were a kid,
you could buy it already made up like that.
Well, I know, but aside from that, they began using not artificial material, but that it wasn't the real rubber anymore. What do they make inner tubes out of now? It's not real rubber anymore, is it?
Oh, like most of them. You mean the tube that you inflate inside the tire,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Some of them are still on it. Yeah.
Because that's how we got all the ammunition. You just cut them up in the strips, and that was what we used.
I never cut them up. I see what you're saying, cutting them up in the strips, too. No, I never did that. Used to just...
Did you ever make a scooter made out of a 2x4? That would be the base. The 2x4. Did you do that?
I didn't do that, but I know I had friends who had a couple. We used to... sometimes would steal the carriages from the grocery store, and you'd get the wheels off those.
Oh, that would be kind of nice, but we would use skates.
Mm-hmm.
You'd use half the skate in the back, half the skate in the front. That was the way of being mobile. And then you'd have an orange crate would be the front part of it, the main part of it, you know, with the... I don't know. I remember what we used for handles and all
probably
that kind of stuff.
Just another nail, another board across.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Something like that. And then you'd use that as a scooter.
I didn't do that, but it's you talk about it, and I know exactly what you're talking about. It makes me wonder. Oh, did I really experience that at one point? But like I said, it was the carriages from the grocery store. I remember breaking those off, and you'd have the bottom half, and making little carts out of those. It was something like that, only we would sit in them and someone else would push us.
Oh, yeah.
Because they were large enough, the bottom of those carts were large enough to do that. So we used to do stuff like that.
Well, that's like the one. Now, what do they call those? Because they used to have annual contests.
Go-karts.
Well, go-karts, there's another name. Remember, they would have...
Soapbox races?
Soapbox. The soapbox derbies would be made that way. Only they got more and more sophisticated and all that.
Do you see some of those things now? Looks like the guys at MIT designed them. They're all the aerodynamic bullet shaped, and they get in there and they're really flying down those hills.
Do they still have the soapbox derby?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. We get something over the, you know, in the news every once in a while about one being held. Always too late to have them on to interview them. They're always like, hey, and the winner of the soapbox derby is some 5-year-old kid who built it all from scratch. And
boy, we had just so darn much fun.
Yeah. We're not all that far apart, but I didn't build like what you're talking about, sound like little zip guns. Elastic.
No, that's right. Now we are far apart. Of course we are. I was born at least 750 years before you were.
Yeah, somewhat on the cusp.
Hey, listen, let me tell you about something that probably you don't care about because you're a young person.
Yeah.
But we older people care about acidophilus and chromium. Hold on a minute. Picolinate.
Oh.
Picolinate was
an instrument.
That's right.
In a symphony, isn't it?
It's a musician that only a man named Myron Boscovich had mastered way back in the 12th
They've
century.
Got the platinum one, they've got the gold one, and of course the chromium piccoli, whatever the hell you said.
Yeah. I remember putting on the our costumes of that era, saying, let's go with, there's a great chromium picolinate concert going on.
You're dressing mid-Victorian costume.
I was dressed in mid-Victorian,
because I almost didn't recognize you.
and no stomach irritating iron. You remember how the front of this goes? If you're going to have to paste this all together to get the full drift of this.
Something about not being tired anymore.
Power Vites also has a cute little sister named Power Mate. Power Mate is an antioxidant formula, one that includes only the finest herbs available, like
I'm way there.
Okay, here's another one. Echinacea.
I got a cream for that at home. I get a little of that on the inside of my elbow every once in a while.
Tell everyone, are these people going to pay for this commercial? If they don't, the Westinghouse guys will be down there breaking their knees. Anyway,
reading these words make you tired, and that's why they did it. So you read them, and you have to buy the product.
I guess I'm listening to them. Exhaust you. Yeah, it does. Tell everyone they can look and feel their best by taking Power Vites and Power Mate together every day. They're available at Health Mart, Chartwell, Bemis, Braddock, and Freedom Pharmacies, and Conley's Drug in Ipswich.
That's about the only one I know. I've never heard of the other ones.
Which one? Conley's Drug in Ipswich?
No, I mean, they tell you where it is in Ipswich. That's nice. But all those other places.
Oh, you've heard of all these? No. No, you have not?
Say those again. Which were?
No, I'm not going to say them again. Are you kidding? Duggan's in Webster, Silva, and Central Pharmacy in New Bedford, and Myron Boskowitz's place, and nobody knows exactly where that is.
He still uses the pestle and mortar.
He really does. Tell your favorite pharmacy or health food store manager to get them for you or to order by phone. Call 1-800-518-5252. That's 1-800-518-5252. It contains picolinate, acidophilus, and echinacea.
Not bad. You have to read that again tonight at some time?
Oh, I hope to God not.
Just make sure if you're going to go buy it, just buy it, because you can't read the label before you buy it, because you'll fall asleep in the pharmacy.
We'll be back in a minute. Then again, maybe we won't. It depends on how many of people in management are listening now.
There are over 12.
You excited about that? It's Pete up in Bethune. Hi, Pete. You're telling the joke to two experts here. Well, one expert, Tony, and also me.
Green ticket touch.
What was that?
Was that an obscenity?
I have no idea.
He said something, then he hung up.
Yeah.
That wasn't too pleasant, was it?
Probably not.
No. Anyway, Did you hear what he said, Hope? Was it an obscenity? It was nothing. He mumbled something. He said, "Reginald, what's your relationship with the Bible?"
Then he hung up. What? That's an obscenity.
Yeah.
If you aren't living on another planet.
Because I was really excited about that. I could use a good joke.
You have any good jokes?
Yeah, a good joke.
You have anything right off the top of your head?
No, offhand?
Yeah.
No, nothing I've been telling for thousands of years.
If anyone ever asks that question, yeah, you got a good joke? And I'll say, yeah. And then I'm like pressed for it and I can't remember any.
Okay, our phone number, by the way, and that was an interesting story you just told. That
Thank
was really
you.
Nice.
I can tell as you really went on nice. To the phone
yeah,
number, you
I'm
really
to,
cared about what I had
yeah,
to say.
Yeah, I'm trying to ignore you. He's back on the line. Is that the same guy? You don't know? How many Pete's from Methuen are there? Oh, we get cut off.
Oh, yeah.
Right. I see. Okay, 617-254-1030. Keep your hand on the button, okay? Because I'm worried about this one. 617-254-1030. Pete, yes.
Hi.
Yes. Are you for real or are you just pulling jokes on us?
No. Like every night when you're on, you want to keep it light.
Yes.
And this is a funny, funny joke, in my opinion.
Okay.
And one of your people said, yeah, go with it.
Okay. Was that Hope? One of our people is Hope. Yeah. Now, did you tell a joke to Hope?
A piece of it.
A piece of it, and she
and
said
it was okay.
Okay. Okay. She edited it, kind of censored it, sort of.
Yes, whatever.
Okay.
The funny part of this is, now, when you and I were young, and the war was going on, and blah, 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 blah.
That's right. The war was going on the one front,
Winston
and the other
Churchill,
front was blah, 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 blah. What's that, please?
What did Winston Churchill do, and his, head governor there, Lord Montgomery, the general, do when there's the Siegfried Line? And all newspapers had to stay away. Nobody could watch. It's a beauty.
It's a real
okay,
beauty.
Right?
This is what...
line.
Wait a minute. The question is, what did Winston Churchill do? What did he do?
And
it wasn't Lord Montgomery. It was General Montgomery, you mean?
Well,
Whatever his title was. Yeah. Okay, yeah. And what did they both do that made everybody keep
away? Nobody else was allowed to be around when they did it.
I don't know. They made love to each other? Or I don't know. What?
They urinated in Germany.
And nobody could watch them. Why could nobody watch them?
they didn't want anybody to see it.
Why? Everybody knew they urinated. I mean, everybody urinates. That's not a crime.
You knew they did it?
I knew they
were. I thought that was a light line. You know, the night just... Yes. My God.
Yeah.
These are two countries.
And yeah, bodily functions in other countries are always a good idea.
That's always, that's a hilarious joke. There. Pete, that was kind of hilarious, but I don't know.
Yeah,
let's go to Paul in Winthrop. Hello, Paul. You're
Hey, Norm. How are you?
Fine. How are you
I've
doing?
I've listened to you for a few weeks. You're very good. I've listened to you. Have you played that game Red Light?
Yes, that's right. I do remember that.
They would, like, stop and turn and...
That's right. What you would do is you would look the opposite direction. They would be in back of you. You would have your hand buried in your arm up against a tree or something like that, or against a building. And you would say, wait a minute. I have to explain this because there may be people who don't know the game and want to learn it. Did you know the game?
Tony? Yeah. I don't know. What is this against the wall or a tree? What?
Well, you'd look.
Oh, you'd have your arm covered.
You cover your face, your eyes, and there'd be people in back of you. How did you start it? What was the opening thing? Before you got to red light, when you said red light, they had to stop.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they were running towards you. Pardon me?
Freeze.
Well, no, but
your position.
I remember.
You keep walking up.
Yeah.
You know, and then you freeze when somebody says, "Let you go." 1, 2, 3, red light, and that was it.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, that's right. Yeah,
I remember just standing with their back towards it. You didn't have to like cover up or anything.
Oh yeah,
just your back towards them as they were into you. 1, 2, 3, and you turn around and say red light, and they all had to stop. And if they moved, they'd have to take so many steps back.
Yeah. They had to go all the way back. Do you remember a Giant Steps 2, Paul? Do you remember Giant Steps? Was that that? Wasn't that like that?
No.
Yes, no.
May I?
That's right. You know that. You know that stuff.
Like that.
Why you bringing back all these? Hey, I got one. What did you used to call the safe zone?
The what?
Like if you were playing tag or something and you made a safe zone where people could run and, you know, you'd be able to...
We used to play hide and seek with hide all around the neighborhood.
You like you touch a certain tree or a building and you say, okay,
but it's a safe zone on town. And you would hide like everywhere all around the town, and somebody, like one person, would have to go look for you.
Yeah, we used to call that hide and go seek.
Yeah.
It was hide and go seek. But we had funny names for things.
But what did you used to call?
Let's play hide and go seek.
Hide and go seek.
Hide and go seek.
But what did you used to call a safe zone if you were playing?
I never heard of that term.
Well, we used to call it goo.
Goo?
Goo.
This will
be goo. And you know, you'd be okay to touch that, and then you could run, you know. Yeah, we called it goo.
But the giant steps would be, you'd be there, and there'd be two or three contestants, kids, or whatever. We didn't call them contestants, but they were kids. And you'd say, Ruthie Trinella, take 2 giant steps. And if she took that without saying, may I, she had to go all the way back.
Yeah.
She had to say, may I, and then you say, yes, you may, and then she could do that. And the idea, again, was like with red light, to get as close to you as possible.
And Illyrio, or whatever, Alivio, whatever the heck it was called. I could never pronounce that. 1, 2, 3, send, you know, Norm over to we, and you have to run, and you had to break through the arms.
Yes.
You hold your arms across.
Yes,
oh,
I
we had such
that.
Fun.
Oh, God, life was so sweet.
Well, if I was talking
kids
to you,
today, kids, never mind that.
What?
Well, kids today, they don't know what fun is. We knew what fun was.
Hey, listen, we had a maid.
We did, Paul. Hey, thank you very much for the reminiscences. That's kind of funny. I'd forgotten about that.
This was always fun.
I don't recall bases.
You'd throw the ball back and forth, and the person would have to try to run to the next base before the ball.
Oh, that was like in baseball, if a player getting trapped between bases.
Yeah, almost.
Except we were more apt to drop the ball. Did you make a baseball out of a golf ball, lots of string, and black tape?
Yes. Yes, I remember the black tape. I used to just get them like that. I never knew what was in the center.
Yeah, very often it would be that. It would be either that or a small little rubber ball or something. Maybe it was more of that.
The handball. The solid handball.
Yeah, I think it probably was that.
Do you have Super Balls? You must have had Super Balls. I'm sorry. That's kind of obscene.
I just don't keep you, keep my personal life out of it.
No, you know. what I'm trying to talk about is the ones where you just kind of drop them on the ground and then like soar about 47 stories in the air.
Yeah.
Boy.
Hope Shower just quit. She just went home. Okay.
I didn't mean to pry, Norm. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I'm rather proud of it. It's just one of the few things I'm proud of as a kid growing up. But I thought baseballs, I really did. I truly thought baseballs were black. Until I was about 15, I think, you know, because of the we taped them all with a black tape.
Did you ever have?
I never saw a white baseball.
Do you ever have kids like you can't open up the inside of a baseball? You know, you can't take the stitches off because the inside was poison or something like that. I remember being told that.
No, nobody in my
being terrified to find like a baseball half open and like, oh God, don't go near it.
No, let's go to Ed in Boston. Hello, Ed.
Hi, Norm.
How you doing?
Fantastic. I mean, every time I hear you show you take me back 40 years.
Okay, because I'm taking myself back about 55 or 60.
I had one of them little cars and with the you see your sister's roller skates, and we used to decorate the front of them with the tops of the tonic, like Coca-Cola, True. You're taking me back to remembering tonics that they don't even make no more. We used to be high.
Oh sure, any HI or any something.
That's right.
Did you? Here's one other thing too. See if you remember this, and if you remember this too, Tony. We're talking about the crates, the orange crates, and it was lovely in fruit stores and vegetable stores. You get the wooden crates, and on the top you draw a circle. You know, it was a roulette wheel, is what it really was, and again half the clothespin. You have half a clothespin sitting on a bottle cap. So that you could spin it around, and you'd have the numbers that people would bet. Usually, you wouldn't bet anything. You wouldn't bet money. Nobody had any money.
You'd bet marbles.
Well, sometimes you'd bet marbles, or sometimes you would bet match covers.
Oh, wow.
And if they said safety first, close before covering, you know, cover, safety first on them would be worth more than the other ones. Would be only worth one. This would be worth 100, although nobody would give you more than two for them, usually. But you'd bet that kind of stuff. Did you do that?
Oh, yeah.
Son of a gun,
I grew up in Somerville. Somerville, Cambridge, Everett, all that whole area. Everything was just about the same. Matter of fact, a couple of weeks ago, I met the gentleman you're talking to, Tony Nesbitt.
You met Tony? Where'd you meet him?
I went to Florida with his son.
That's right.
How you doing, Ed?
Very good. Talk about a small world. I couldn't believe that.
Neither could I.
My son says to me, how are you going to Florida? He says, I'm going with the guy with WBC, Tony. I said, Tony Nesbitt. He had a look at his face. How do you know him? I said, I talked to him for years in the radio. He's a producer. You know? I had
no idea myself. It's pretty funny.
I'll let you go because we can't reminisce because we people want to. As Norm takes us back into our childhood.
It's like a time machine, isn't it?
This has nothing to do with what we've been talking about, except Richard Jenny is a comic who is at one of the comedy clubs here in Boston this weekend. The Comedy
Hall.
Connection. Was it tonight or is it tomorrow night?
Maybe tonight and tomorrow.
I would say
paper with me.
If you can find it.
I'll get it.
Okay. Because if it's Saturday night, by all means catch this guy. He's absolutely the funniest guy who ever lived. I saw him doing an HBO special one night. I never heard of this. Richard Jenny, J-E-N-I. And I was just doubled up with laughter watching him. And I don't very often sit and watch television alone. And
I don't.
Oh, it's Friday night. He's all done. Son of a gun. I would love to be able to get him on the phone. And at least talk with him and tell him how much I enjoy it. Richard Jenny. And yeah, he was. I'm sorry. I'm telling you about it, and it's all over. But he is absolutely hilarious. The Platypus Man. Next time he comes, see him. I should have seen him myself. Let's talk. Speaking of Jenny, here's Jen up to Salem. Hi, Jen.
I'm out of college.
I don't know why.
Years.
Okay, that's to being a student is not a qualification for telling a joke. I don't know why I asked you that. Okay,
oh, well, because Salem State. I'm a talented comedian, actually.
What's that?
I'm a talented comedian.
Would you like to do a stand-up?
No, I don't think I'd be in the mood for that right now. I just got a little joke.
No,
like
I don't mean right. I wasn't thinking right this minute. What I'm thinking of is a career.
Oh, I don't know. I dabble.
Okay, tell us your joke.
Okay, the joke is, knock, knock.
Who's there?
Rube Lincoln.
Rube?
67 years ago.
Wait a minute. I think.
So what'd she say?
She said, show me a person who has learned not through formal means, not through expensive schools, not through Ivy League colleges, but learned by being out there among the people and learning because he and or she love people. Show me that kind of person, and I will show you an apricot pit. What do you think about that,
man? Pearls of wisdom.
Yeah. She was so profound.
She was. We used to cry when she when she uttered these pearls of wisdom, as you call it, until, come closer, Jen. I don't want everybody to hear this. Until finally, as the years passed, we realized that she was as cuckoo as a jaybird. Or is it naked as a jaybird?
Yeah,
she was a wacky nutcake. Yeah, that's right.
A fruity chick.
However, meantime, it changed all our lives, so her life was not in vain. And to all the republics for which it stands.
And to all a good night.
Good night, Jen.
Good night.
I wonder if she'll ever call again. I don't know.
Summer.
That is so sad. I can't even... The whole thought about the whole Christopher Reeves incident really saddens me because I have a horse, and I know how the trouble you can get into if you don't know what you're doing, although he did know what he was doing.
Yeah.
The fact is, horses, as somebody, I explained to somebody the other day, they're living creatures. They have their own ideas about things, and sometimes they're not going to do what you want them to do, and it can produce some very bad results, as it did in his case. I don't think there's any humor there at all. The O.J. Simpson thing, especially when they've been revealing all these grisly photographs, that I think we can leave
that. Now we're going to have Mickey Mantle jokes next? I mean,
yeah, Mickey Mantle jokes.
I mean, how long does it take? Someone must sit, because they spread across the country. Like, what? Not that I've even heard what he was going to say, but, you know, tomorrow someone will tell you, and it's like, how do they spread so quickly? Someone's like, oh, someone's been hurt really badly. His O.J. jokes, his Christopher Reeve jokes, his Mickey Mantle jokes, they just come out of nowhere.
On that same topic, and we have news coming up in a minute, but going into the news on a lighter note, you wonder how certain other things do spread. You know how kids, well, sayings and things, for example, seem to spread very, very quickly, and you wonder how that happens. I suppose now on television, maybe on radio, I don't know. But I'm thinking about the rhymes kids used to have when they would jumping rope.
Mm-hmm.
Old man Kelly had a pimple on his belly. His wife cut it off and made it into jelly.
That makes me so sick.
Oh, isn't that sickening? But somehow things like that, maybe not exactly that,
yeah,
spread across the country, and every kid seems to know them. And how does that spread? How does that spread with a knife? How else does it spread jelly?
I knew there was a tie in there.
One moment, please.
Don, we continue to deal with work crews downtown, getting off the expressway southbound at Berkeley Street. You'll find some work crews slowing things down. Expressway northbound and southbound in the East Milton Square, Granite Ave stretch. More work crews. We've got work crews outside of the city on the Mass Pike eastbound and westbound at Natick and Route 24 northbound. We've got work crews in Brockton. I'm Jack Hart, WBZ 24-Hour Traffic Network. Why has been proven in multiple human clinical studies for more than a decade? Why compromise? Take Qui. Look for Qui at Douglas Maxi and GNC.
Cops that drive you insane. Tune in 10:30 and call Norm tonight. Hey, hey, out there in Radio Land. You tuned in on Nathan, and he's at your command. So stay here and listen, then you'll understand. He's a habit you'll never outgrow. But right now, Norm Nathan Show. I said, right now, Norm Nathan Show. Here's Norm.
Hello, this is a tremendous amount of publicity considering the minuscule amount of talent. He's got a great talent for getting publicity. Now he's getting it right now.
Yeah.
So let's stop that. Let's go to Jeremy. Want to do that to Jeremy in North Carolina? Does that sound good with you, Tony?
Yeah, why not?
Hi, Jeremy.
Hi, Norm. Remember me from a couple weeks ago? I called about graduation, and you told me to call back in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, let's see. No, Yeah, you were, I forgot. Brief me on that. What were you graduating from?
I graduated from high school.
Oh, high school down in North Carolina.
And you wanted to know who the speaker was at our commencement. And
oh, yeah.
I didn't know, but I'd tell you.
Okay. Oh, okay, yeah, because I was a speaker at a high school commencement about a week or so ago, and I was kind of curious as to, who was it?
We didn't have one.
Aren't you nice to call me to tell me that?
we just had the salutatorian and the valedictorian speak, and that was it.
Wow.
No special guest.
Not even like an alumni alumnus who...
Or the chairman of the school committee, or the principal of the school.
Student body president.
The student body, was that a good speech?
Yeah. He's got a full 4-year football scholarship at Duke University.
Yeah?
And so everyone kind of idolizes him, you know. And he's kind of a ditzy guy, but he's nice.
Yeah, he's president of the student body, even though he's a ditz.
What was the main thrust of his speech?
It was about a T-shirt that he got at the beginning of freshman year, and he held it up to the audience, and it was full of holes, and it was dirty gray. It was white when he first bought it, you know. And it was just, he ran track and went in and everything, and it was really nasty. And he said this signifies the struggle he went through at Sanderson High School. And it was kind of symbolic more than anything else.
Well, that doesn't sound bad. It's
either that or bad laundering.
Yeah.
At least it wasn't one of these, as we go forth out to face the challenges of the world, remember what my Hungarian gypsy princess grandmother would have told you if she still were alive today. She would probably say, go forth, correct the ills of the older generation. Make this a better place on earth. Show me a person who can do that, and I'll show you a T-shirt with lots of holes in it.
Well, that was...
Why is it so quiet? Why is it so quiet in there?
I wanted to know if you were finished or not.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, he's been finished for a while.
I have been. I was finished, I'd say, probably 40 years ago.
Well, Norm, I have a joke for you.
Oh, okay.
And it made me angry when I first started.
Oh, is it going to make us angry? Because Tony and I are very sensitive, emotional people.
It'll probably make a majority of your viewing audience be very angry.
Oh, really? You want
to say it's a joke?
It's a joke, yeah. I heard it on a local radio station in the morning, a morning show on the pop music station that I listen to.
Yeah, okay.
And I stopped listening to it ever since I heard that joke. I called them and I told them how just stupid I thought that joke was.
So what do you want to do? Just have people stop listening to us too on the same basis? Is that what
are you a saboteur?
Yeah, well, I'm a saboteur great
one. You work for one of the other Boston radio stations? Is that it? You're not really calling from North Carolina at all, are you? You're somebody from WRKO or someplace like that, aren't you?
Right, I live in Framingham, Norm. Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Anyway.
Okay, well, you got to tell it to us now since you've already kind of teased us.
Is it tasteless? Is it tasteless?
It's not a dirty joke
it's
or anything.
It's tasteless,
It is tasteless.
It's not nasty or anything like that. It's just tasteless.
Not obscene.
No, it's not obscene at all.
Mm. It does involve...
I know, exactly. I mean, the woman who called sounded like she lived, you know, she sounded like, made me just so angry. And I was
like one or two teeth left in her head, maybe.
Yeah.
Sitting on a back porch.
You know,
little inbreeding in the family, shotgun on her lap.
Most of the people who call that radio show sound like that.
that wasn't really as bad as I thought it might be.
Yeah, it just really got to me.
Yeah.
You know? I mean,
well, you know, we Yankees have got thick skin. You know.
Yeah.
That's true. You know, you get awful thick skin, so we don't mind jokes of that nature. Oh, show up.
I called the radio station the next morning.
Did you?
Yeah, I told those guys, they didn't put me on the air.
That's funny because we could tell an anti-Southern joke, a Confederate joke, and probably nobody up here, except if they came from the South originally, would mind that.
Either that or they wouldn't get it.
They probably wouldn't understand it, that's right. But you're much more sensitive and compassionate. That's very nice of you to take offense at that, Jeremy.
Just, I think that, you know, we're all Americans now. You know, the Civil War was about 140 years ago. Who cares? You know,
I know. And the people who go around, and I'm not naming names, but go around calling President Clinton Bubba because he's from the South and call him that constantly.
Right.
They ought to know that, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, I personally don't care for
him. No, if you don't like him, you know, pick on his policies. But this Bubba thing over and over and over and over again,
right.
I think
he's from Arkansas, so what, you know?
Arkansas is one of my favorite states in the entire nation.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it could have been New York or Vermont or something, much as Arkansas. You know?
Of course.
I mean, we're all American now. I don't know why some people don't, you know, most people aren't like that. okay, but there are a few narrow-minded people, and it just really got to me, because I don't know if I didn't have relatives who lived north of the Mason-Dixon line.
Hey, what are you going to college?
I'm going to UNC Chapel Hill in August.
Oh, that's lovely. Oh, in August?
Yeah, August 19th.
Oh, okay, is that the usual time it starts? As early as that?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you know, the first week is just orientation.
Yeah. Are you excited about that?
Yes, I am, actually, because, you know, most of my good friends are going there.
Is that very far from where you live?
It's about 25 miles west of here.
Oh, it's not too far at all. But you'll be living on campus, though, I would assume.
Yeah.
Well, best of luck. What a great adventure's in store for you. Yeah. That's wonderful. What have you decided on a major? I know you don't have to do that right off, but...
I want to do medicine.
Oh, that's right. So this would be pre-med then?
Yeah. You know, they don't have an actual pre-med major, but, you know, they have a place where you can work up to it, you know.
Hey, Jerry, you sound okay. I think I'm going to adopt you and Tony.
Thank you.
You know, in order to enter into medicine, you have to read that commercial we read last hour.
Yeah. Okay.
And pronounce everything exactly right.
Yeah. I hope you didn't hear that. Because...
Yeah, I'm having trouble picking you up tonight, Norm.
Oh, yeah. Well, you'd have trouble with that. That whole commercial, you haven't missed anything. Anyway, good luck to you, Jeremy.
Let's talk with, let's see. How about Elaine? Is it Elaine from Chelsea?
Yes.
Hi, Elaine. Excuse me, I'm going to clear my throat. Ever hear a big star clearing his throat on the air?
Certainly.
Oh, really? Who was the last one?
You.
Oh, I see. I'm a whole...
Perfectly fine with me. Whatever will make you comfortable.
Okay, hold on a minute. I did that with great sex appeal. Okay. Hey,
you have a lot of sex appeal, Norm.
Elaine, please come closer to the phone. You're driving me crazy.
Oh, you're driving me crazy, too.
Oh, please.
Anyway, the reason I'm calling is...
Just talk to me, baby, and let's have everybody else tune out.
What?
No, I'm sorry. Go right ahead.
No, I was upstairs listening, right? And I thought, two things that were mentioned, I figured, I'm going to go down and call, and then I figured, let me wait and see, you know. So I was getting ready for that. But then I heard... 1, 2, 3, red light. I heard the marbles, which I loved and was very good at. And then when you did what we jumped rope to, old Mr. Kelly, to the pimple on his belly.
did you remember that one?
We played that with the jump rope. I loved it. I loved it because that was part of the jump rope. The other one was, well, there were a number of them I don't remember, but there was another one that was not last night, but the night before, 24 robbers came knocking at my door. And it came to Hot Peppers. You jumped to Hot Peppers real fast.
Oh, yes, I recall, yeah.
But what made me really come down was the tongue depressor and the wax paper.
Oh, yeah.
I'd like that lady to know that was the most fun for my brother and I at the holidays. We always received that. It was wonderful. It was like a book. And they had all kinds of beards and mustaches, different noses, different faces, eyeglasses and things, with wax paper. And you made your own face by taking each part that you wanted. So it really came out looking very weird, very different, and it was a lot of fun. It was creative, too, in a way.
It would be creative, yeah, because each time you designed it a different way.
Yeah, and so I'd like her to know that I remember that.
Okay.
And one other question I wanted to ask you, because... Since we're into this, I've always wanted to know if anyone remembers this, and all I can give you is the last part of it, and I would love to have the rest. When we finished school, we played different games, you know, dodgeball and things like that, but we'd go into the schoolyard, and you could play this alone or with your friend. And you did different motions with your arms and your legs, so it was actually almost like aerobic exercises. But you said things as you made motions with different parts of your body. And when you got to the middle of it, you'd say, roll the ball, I'm at a payphone, roll the ball to Batsy's, right leg, left leg, and you'd put your ball under each of those legs, and over you go. And I can't remember the rest of it. And if anybody remembers it, I would love to hear the entire thing.
I would too, yeah, because that doesn't sound familiar to me at all.
I love that.
Yeah.
And one other thing before I go, I remember playing statues. You must have remembered that too.
Now, how did that go?
You'd take somebody and turn them all the way, and you'd let them go, and they'd have to stand in the position that you let them go in, even if one leg was up. They could not move. So it would always be a funny, grotesque or caricature type look that they had.
Okay.
It was fun.
You obviously...
I'm just going to turn the room light and take a look at you, so just be patient 1 minute.
Okay, I'll let you go if you want to go, do you?
This is a recording. Okay, thank you for letting me talk to you. I love listening to you, and you brought back some fun memories.
Thanks a million, Elaine. I appreciate you calling.
You're welcome. Take care of yourself, Norm.
Bye-bye.
Love you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I hate to be, don't you hate to be interrupted by a recorded telephone message? If it's a real message, okay. You know what else is, you know what else is a pain? When you call the number, and they say, if you know the party you're calling to, dial that person's exchange, mm-hmm. okay? And then they got a million other things, too. If you don't know the number, stay on the line and hit number six.
And spell out the last name.
Spell out the last name and do number three if you want to order now. If you don't mm-hmm. want to order till tomorrow. If you want fried fish, you yeah. order the hit number six.
And then press pound.
And then you could sit there all day just hitting the phone numbers and never talk to a human being, ever.
Yeah. Our benefits here at Westinghouse, illustrious Westinghouse, you can do it all over the phone, all by pressing buttons.
You mean when you call our main number here?
Well, no. I mean, but every year we have to reapply for our, you know, medical benefits and all that stuff, and it's all done just like by telephone prompts. You can call up and... By the time you've made a mistake, you know, it's a half hour into it and you're doing all the numbers, then maybe you'll get someone to say, and if you need an operator, dial this. But, you know, it's one for this coverage and two for that coverage. And then if it's, then they repeat it to you, and then it's one yes, two no, is this correct, incorrect?
And if you have trouble with your blockage of your liver bile.
Uh-huh.
Just punch five.
Yes, five is usually bile duct blockage.
Bile duct blockage, yes. Yeah. Well, that's pretty standard.
Yeah, all over?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Really? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. I worked for some other radio stations, and it was WH station was very standard. That and also... No, I don't want to say. You get just so vile at night, you know. I won't do it.
Vile about bile. Oh, never mind.
Okay, let's go to, let's see, who we go to? How about we go to Kay in Lunenburg? So that sounds like where we're broadcasting from. Do people kid you about the name of that town, Kay?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm the first to broach it. Lunenburg, it just sounds, you know, kind of like a weird place.
Well, oh, no. It's a nice New England town.
No, I know the town. No, it is a nice town. I've been there many times, and I was thinking of buying it. And as a matter of fact, it probably has something to do with the moon, doesn't it? Do you think that's where they got the name, like Lunen?
Well, we have a sister city in Germany.
And that is that also Lunenburg?
It's spelled the same way.
So yeah, okay. I guess,
I'm not sure if that's
I guess
where
maybe.
The name originated. The ring around the rosy indicated the rash that people got when they got the Black Plague.
Really?
Their bodies would be have a round circle, and the outside was, there'd be a ring around the outside, and the inside would be something like a rose. Of course, not that elaborate. So that's the ring around the rosy, and the pocket full of posies is when the children died, they would put flowers in their pockets. And then, ashes, well, as you know, in order to try to get rid of the plague, they had to burn the bodies. And then we all, it should be go down, but we say we all fall down. And we all go down was when they buried the ashes.
You know, it's kind of interesting. There are a lot of rhymes and things that we knew as kids that came from historical, you know, because of historical reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But that is such a gory one. I thought they would come about from things that are a little happier than that.
Well, I know, and I like to think I'm the soul of consolation. I don't want to ruin people's ring around the rosy games, but perhaps it was a way of the people coping. You know, sometimes
yeah.
when all else fails, try a little humor.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, there's no question about that. You know, which is where black humor, I guess, comes from. You run into a situation that's so ugly, the only way you can handle it, as you mentioned, or to cope with it, is to make a joke about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I've never understood why some people how they some people can get through life without a sense of humor at all. You know, you just need one right. So badly.
Well, I'm pretty sure we provided ourselves some humor with that episode. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share, and we'll do it all again next week. Closing the vault and leaving this world a little sillier than we found it. For Bert Cohen, marble tournaments, Aggies, Shooters, Moonies, and Stickers. The Great Radisson Marble Convention in Marlborough, Mass. The Boston Common. The Frog Pond. Winning a trip to France. Soapbox Derbies. Caitlin Travel. Nova Scotia. Dave Maynard. Jim. Updated resumes. Antioxidants. Powervites and its cute little sister Powermate. Dressing in mid-Victorian costume. Myron Boskowitz. Master of the chromium picolinate. Healthmart. Chartwell. Bemis, Braddock, and Freedom Pharmacies, Conley's Drug in Ipswich, Duggins in Webster, Silva and Central Pharmacy in New Bedford, and Myron Boskowitz's place, where he still uses a mortar and pestle. The one and only Hungarian Gypsy Princess Grandmother. Shopping Cart Joyrides, performing hilarious bodily functions in other countries. Poison Baseballs, Old Man Kelly and his wife. Homemade roulette wheels, student body ditzes, payphones, the pit of phone prompt despair, missing jokes, super balls, Richard Jenny, Ruthie Trinella, and the man who, at times, morphed into the human time machine, Norm Nathan. I'm Tony Nesbitt.